Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Diva of Dual weekly podcast, where we talk all things Days of Our Lives and sometimes General Hospital. And tonight, I'm sitting in for Carrie. This is Anna, and we've got Mary Ann.
Hi, everyone.
And we think Rose is going to be joining us here a little bit. So anyway, you can find, Carrie's got a Diva blog that you can find on, Mary Ann, do you remember this? I'm so bad about that.
Diva, the blog?
Blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
At blogspot.com.
And we've also got a Facebook page, the Viv Dual Facebook page, and you can also find Carrie on Twitter at Diva of Dual. And and want to say shout out to Bob and Amy Hapka, our dear friends that we haven't heard from in a while, coughs and clears throat. But anyway, we hope they're doing great. They had an anniversary a couple weeks ago, same day as Mary Ann's birthday. So we hope they're having a good time. And so anyway, we're going to talk about days and maybe some GH and try not to fall asleep because we're both tired.
Really.
This is going to be a short podcast tonight.
I don't know if you've seen, I said I have some news about Teo Penglis.
Oh, go for it.
He has his, everyone knows he has his book Places coming out July 15th, but he's also in September, I think it's the 14th, he announced it on his Facebook, the 14th and the 21st of September, they're two different Sundays, he's doing a new presentation of his journeys that ties in with his book at the Skylight Theater in L.A.
Oh,
so he has
wonderful.
The theater book for that. You know, it's like kind of the way he did his Journeys presentation in Cape May, but this is going to be a new one, and it also ties in with his book. And I think he's probably going to, it sounds like doing like his book will be there for signing and that because it will have been released.
Oh, wonderful. And that's,
but he is
going to
do the Journeys. Yeah.
Or in L.A., right?
Yeah, those are two in L.A., so that, you know.
Oh, that's
that
so exciting. September 14th.
There'll be more details,
21st.
I guess, for the times and stuff. But the dates are the 14th and the 21st of September. And hopefully as the book comes out, hopefully he'll maybe get on some kind of a book tour thing. You know, I'm still pushing for him to come east. So hopefully he'll come east too. You know, those are what's scheduled right now.
So. Very cool. That was exciting news because we've been waiting to hear what he's going to do, so very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds neat. Well, it sounds like a trip to L.A. is in order for us.
Trip to L.A. I'm going to try to make it happen. Yeah.
So,
I definitely want to
awesome.
Be there for that, so, yeah.
Oh, yes. So, anyway, well, great. That's great news.
Yeah.
And so let's see, Days of Our Lives. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Nick Fallon.
That's the big story.
Yep, he bit the dust, supposedly. I mean, I guess he's pretty much dead. He stayed dead the whole time.
I guess he's dead. Is he dead this time? I don't know. But
I think he's dead this time.
He sure made it clear into the square there, and you know, but yeah, I guess he's dead now. They had him on the slab there, looking pretty dead.
Yeah,
and everybody
he had the slab. Yeah, he got the slab treatment, so we think he's dead for real this time. Although it's kind of
sad. They pulled the sheet over.
You know,
wasn't everybody waiting for him to jump? Weren't you waiting for him to open his eyes?
I know that would have been
like Gabby, especially Gabby, and for him to grab her or something.
Oh yeah, that would have been awesome.
I was just waiting. You know.
You know, and they managed to not make any river jokes or any I was kind of hoping maybe there'd be a little bit of innuendo there somewhere, but they were dead serious, no pun intended. It's one of those things where, you know, Blake's done a masterful job. He has just been amazing. He's truly created a character that we love to hate. And really considering the lack of villains running around Salem these days. You know, the kinder, gentler villains are you know, have been kind of taking over Salem lately. It's really nice to see that there's still you know, can be somebody who is just a really rotten guy. But then on the other hand, as with most good villains, there's that softer side inside that he, you know, exhibited at the very end. Of course, I think last week we were talking about, was that really genuine? And now
but
that I've actually
seen it, I think it really was. Because he was talking to Marlena and there was no one around. So it wasn't
right.
like he wasn't pretending
right.
or playing anybody. He was
right.
generally talking to Marlena and
right.
wanting to change.
Yeah. Now, the only
yeah.
thing, see, with people like
I think after
Stefano,
talking to Julie,
you can always,
you know,
with the Demirs, uh-huh. you could always say, okay, there's some trick behind this. There's something going on because they have all the money in the world and they can make it happen like that. Whereas, because, mm-hmm. I mean, with Nick, I could totally see him knowing that he's pissed everyone off in town and having somebody fake shoot him so that has said it.
And Nick wasn't always like that,
though. Miserable again, you know, and, you know, have it all set up. But, see, that would be a Stefano kind of move. I don't know that he's got those kinds of assets to be able to make that happen, you know.
Right. And you remember when he first came on, he was a good guy. He was a great,
yeah.
you know what I mean, a nice, and it was, I think it was being in prison and what happened to him and taking, you know, and all that
yeah.
changed him.
Yeah.
So deep down,
oh, yeah.
he wasn't always a bad person,
right?
You know,
right?
You know,
right?
So yeah,
and I'm glad
he did
they
kind
gave
of
him that at the end, where his voice was crackling and he was basically pleading for help and stuff, and you
mm-hmm.
know that I think that was a great touch. Now there again, I guess they're leaving enough room for okay, he could have faked it this whole time, faked being dead, and the people at the hospital are complicit; they're involved somehow. Could have paid them off or whatever to pretend like he's dead. You know, we could always go. I mean, I think we'd be willing to have him come back. You know, come back alive again. You know, anytime.
Oh well,
you know,
yeah. Anybody comes back, nobody's dead.
But at least for now, it would appear that he's dead. Dead. You know, as dead
mm-hmm.
as anyone can be in Salem. And so
right.
It's kind of interesting, you know, to see. How, of course, they laid it all out that, you know, all these people were standing there watching when, you know, Allie screams last Friday and, you know, he comes out of the woods, shut up. And by the way, she does have an awesome scream. The kid's got a future in horror films, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I'm glad she's getting something to do, even if it is screaming, at least
yeah.
she's getting a little
yeah.
more to do.
Well,
than.
And it looks like, you know, it looks like maybe she's going to have a bigger role coming up. I mean, she is a Horton. I mean, they do need to incorporate her more in things. So maybe she will have, you know, more of a role. But it's nice that for a change, anyone else find it refreshing that they're actually worried about Allie's well-being and that she might need a psychiatrist or something for all this? Because Allie's always the forgotten one, you know? So
right.
Never, you know, Allie's always the one that, you know, she never has anything wrong. She never has anything, you know. So it's kind of nice to see that shift a little bit.
Right.
And it was also a nice twist on the writer's part that here Sammy is feeling all guilty because she thinks that, you know, they've hired a hitman and she didn't stop EJ from doing it and everything, so she's feeling guilty. And then it's her child that witnesses it. And the
yeah.
trauma
and
of that.
Yeah, and
like,
I guess maybe that's why she's feeling guilty because that's, you know, because even before that, she was feeling like she wanted to stop it, I guess. Because, well, I guess once she found out that Allie, like Nick, you know, she's freaking out. Because
yeah.
that's usually not Sammy. Sammy's not, like,
yeah.
Did you freaking out like that.
Like, yeah, you left her
yeah.
line like, and who knew that Nick was her favorite cousin?
Yeah, and like EJ's
oh,
telling
funny.
Her, will you stop this? Calm down. You're going to, you know, you're going to blow this because she
yeah.
almost blew it in front of Eric and Marlena.
Yeah,
I mean,
everybody
was
keeps catching them almost saying it. It's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then she catches EJ talking about the pictures and he's like, oh, the pictures of you and Kate and Gabby dumping Nick in the river. Oh, okay. You know, so
oh yeah, but
one.
It's the other pictures. You know, there's
yeah.
you know,
uh-huh.
there's more than one motive. From everybody thinks it's the custody battle that somebody wanted
oh,
him dead.
Yeah.
Well, there's also EJ and maybe Abby that want him dead because of
yeah.
their affair. Yeah, because those
right,
two
right.
know about that. Yeah, but I don't think it's Abby. Mm-hmm. But I don't. Although Abby's looking guilty. I mean, she seemed guilty too. Yeah.
Who are you leaning towards right now? I didn't. Mm-hmm. I got to see about halfway through the week, so I haven't seen Fridays yet or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you leaning towards as the culprit?
I don't know. I don't know if everybody has seen, like, at the end of Friday, and then from one of the previews, it looks like it could be Lucas. But I don't know. The way it was, like, and you'll have to tell your Kate story, I'm sure, how Kate's, you know, she's just all out there, like, she's the one that's happy that everything's happened, and she more or less is admitting everything.
No, that
she
hilarious.
Hated him. You know, like, oh, well, yeah, I hated him. Yeah, I have a gun. You know that.
Tells Maggie.
Yeah.
Maggie.
But there,
oh, yeah, Allie's all upset. You know, it's like an afterthought that Nick's dead, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, and she's like, all the other ones are freaking out, like Sonny and Will are freaking out, oh, get rid of the gun and all this, and Gabby and Sammy and Frey Kate's are like, well, whatever. Yeah, he's, you know. She's, like, playing it real cool. Well, I guess Lucas is all upset. He says, because he said to her, what do you mean you told him you had a gun? She says, well, Hope knew it anyway. And Lucas, I'm there, why is Lucas getting all upset because of that? And then he had deleted from his thing that, you know, Nick had called him to meet him in the park. And he deleted that. Well, I don't know if you saw, but at the end of Friday, Kate goes and opens her drawer and takes out the case where her gun is, supposedly, and it's not there. And she gets this surprised look on her face. So somebody took her gun. So did you see that?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
Well, Lucas was, he was all upset because Kate had told Hope that she had a gun. And he said, why did you tell her that? And she says, well, she'd know anyway. Well, here it showed, okay, so this kind of like implying that somebody, you know, there's Lucas's concern about the gun. Then Kate's in her office, and she pulls out her drawer where she keeps her gun in this case. She opens the case and looks and is surprised to see that the gun is gone. And she gets this puzzled look, so where is Kate's gun now? And she surprised. So I'm wondering if Lucas did not take the gun.
Yeah,
it's kind
well,
of, if you've seen those scenes before with Lucas and Kate and then find how Kate can't find her gun, that's what it implies. Also, there's been previews out there. I don't know if people like spoilers or not, but there's the scene where Hope, there's a preview where Hope is interviewing Lucas and she says, oh, did you shoot something about you shooting him or something? Of course, that could be a red herring, too. You know, that could be just,
you know,
yeah,
they're gonna
it
throw
might not
a lot
really be
out
Lucas.
There.
I hope they're not throwing him under the bus again.
Yeah, I hope not too. Well, I'm still bitter that, I mean, there was a scene with him and Jordan that was kind of cute. He might be better suited with Jordan. Jordan definitely does not work with Rafe. Ugh, it's just awful. But they were kind of cute. Jordan and Lucas were kind of cute together, although I really loved Cheryl with him, and I'm still ticked off that they don't have her on anymore, and anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they give something for Lucas to do. I hope they're not just doing this for him to exit the show, you know, make him the...
Yeah.
I don't know. Because,
I hope
you
not
know,
either, because, I mean, he's a Horton, so he needs to be on, you know, the Hortons are dropping, like, you know, flies. So we need
we're going to find out it's not the hitman, because the hitman gives back the money. Sammy runs into him at the end of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of Friday, she runs into... And I guess we'll see that next week. Where he receives the money back.
An ethical hitman. You don't find that very often.
I was going to say, isn't that odd? EJ's a hitman. I guess he's afraid, I guess, you know, but, like, guess he's saying, no, somebody else got to him before I did and gives Sammy the money back or something. I don't know. Yeah, I find that kind of odd.
They've laid out some good stuff there.
It looks like everyone's guilty. It looks like it could have been Sonny, you know. It looks like it could be Will. You know, Will did threaten him, you know, but they're kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Even Abby looks guilty. And Ben and who else is, you know, Ray. Yeah. even Rave could be guilty.
Well, they're making everybody pretty much, like you said, look guilty. So.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
I just love, though, how, you know, it's like Hope's the one doing the investigation and 90% of her family is a suspect. You know?
I saw that tweeted somewhere. Really, shouldn't Hope should not even be on the case because everyone in her family's involved? Yeah,
I know, it's kind of funny.
All her relatives are involved. It's kind of, yeah.
But, you know, this is Salem, and if it weren't
Hope, Salem,
it'd have
they're
to be Roman, and Roman's related to all of them, too, so it's like...
Yeah, they're all related, so, yeah.
So, anyway, but, yeah, so, let's see. Yeah, so, I mean, so they've done a good job, but, yeah, when you brought up the Kate stuff on Monday, I didn't see the stuff at the end of the week yet, but Monday's was really funny how she comes in, and she sort of cavalierly tells Maggie... She's all worried about it. It was sort of an afterthought that, oh, yeah, by the way, Nick's dead, but she's worried about Allie, you know. It's like, that was great. I love the way they did that. Kate's just awesome. So, yeah, so there's that. And then, of course, wasn't there a scene where Abby goes to EJ and she suspects that EJ's the one or something that did it or that hired someone?
I'm trying to remember.
Wasn't she like, oh, it's pretty amazing how, you know, you say it's never going to come to light, and then all of a sudden Nick's dead, you know.
Well, she suspects that it's EJ. I guess I don't remember that scene. I don't know. I know there was a scenes with, like, Gabby and Nick having a big argument, and Julie walks in on it, you know, and that because, you know, Gabby keeps hearing Nick saying that she's nothing but EJ's whore. They keep replaying that I don't know how many times.
Wait,
and Julie's
been
good
on that?
Julie
walks in on.
She hears them arguing.
Oh, okay.
Not Nick and Gabby. Nick and Abby. I'm sorry, there's Gabby and Abby.
Okay,
I get them. Nick and Abby arguing, you know, over, yeah. So, and then Hope's interrogating them.
Yeah, I have to say, I thought it was great that they gave Susan Seaforth Hayes some great scenes.
She can yell and scream with the best.
I love it. You can tell she just goes, you know, you can tell she commits 100%, you know, just like when they have those scenes where she was high at the book club, you know, donuts. She just commits 100%, you know, she just puts it out there. I love that. But she had some great scenes. Oh, that was cool. And then she had blood on her shirt from helping Nick and, you know, she's there at the hospital and all, and I don't know.
She had the great scenes where she was talking to Nick, too, and trying
before he was killed. Yeah, those were really good, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's neat that that she's gotten some great scenes there. And, you know, and it's kind of funny because they're all kind of feeling a little guilty, like, you know, yeah, he was our relative, but we also, they didn't do enough, but then again, he kind of creeped us out, too, kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like, they were kind of, like, afraid of him, too, in a way, you know? So, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting, I have to say,
they knew how he was,
but
they tried to help him, but not as,
right.
You know, everyone always feels that, I think, if something like that happens.
Oh,
you never did enough, or whatever.
Didn't you love Sammy's reaction when Marlena is finally listening to her messages and she's listening to Nick's message and she's about to die?
Yes, she heard Nick's
Sammy
voice.
Comes walking back in and drops everything, freaks out, hearing his voice.
And Marlena's there. You know, Marlena's kind of, she knows her daughter, you know. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
What are you so upset? You know, something's bothering you more so. And of course, you know, she just makes the excuse about Allie and she's just upset about Nick and, yeah. But Marlena's, you know, I think she's kind of on to her that Sammy knows a little bit more than what she's letting on and stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of, I was a little bit shocked when I realized that, you know, Sammy was kind of going along with this whole thing, but now that he's dead and then the fact that she hears that message where he wants to change, she's really freaking out, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, what have we done, you know? So, I mean, even though everybody agrees he's better, they're all better off with him dead. I mean, that's the funny part. It's like everybody agrees that, you know, life is better without Nick.
They all wanted him
but,
dead. And they all
yeah.
said, I admit it, I do want him dead, even like Will. And so, yeah. Am I sorry he's dead? No. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
But, yeah.
So kudos to Blake for really, Blake Barris, to really do
that. Oh, yeah,
so I
yeah.
hope he
should
get
an Emmy nomination
for
that.
This year. You know,
for this year for
yeah.
next, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's how it works.
He
I guess
should have gotten
these
one last year,
late.
Too.
Yeah, true. Well, that's another whole farce, I think. I don't put too much stock in the daytime Emmys
I know.
Anymore.
Same here.
No. Yeah,
a lot of it's politics,
but
I think.
A lot of it's politics.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah.
So let's see. Oh, and then we've got Nicole and Daniel and Eric.
Yeah.
So they're finally engaged, and then Daniel finally figures out, he pieces everything together, no pun intended, and figures out that Nicole knew all, you know, she got the evidence they needed when at Shaika's to, you know, blow it wide open for Eric, you know, to be able to go back to the priesthood if he wanted or whatever. And, you know, he basically said, confronted her, he's like, you know, instead of giving him that choice, you know, you basically decided to, you know, get rid of this information.
Right.
And she denies it for the longest time. And it's kind of funny. Didn't you get the feeling like Daniel was kind of the voice of the audience, like saying that about how they didn't, like, how Nicole, it's almost like he almost came out and said, you know, you were progressing so well and you just reverted to old Nicole, you know? It's like we've all been saying that.
When right.
When she made that decision, it disappointed all of us. I don't think anybody was happy about that, the way they wrote that.
No, no. And what we wanted was for her to do what she said she was going to do. If she found the evidence,
right.
was what she was trying to do to
right.
to prove Daniel's, to prove Eric's innocence. So, but when
yeah.
she got it, she reverted back to her old ways. What I wanted... We all wanted her to do was present it to Eric, and then what we really wanted to happen was to Eric to choose her to it after he even
yeah.
got the proof. That would
right.
have been the
that
the,
would have been the best yeah.
yeah
yeah
case scenario. But
especially
or for her to somehow
already
win him
drawn
back.
Out their relationship for over a year, you know, just to get to that point. So it wasn't like we needed any more like. You know, I mean, we could find tension elsewhere. We didn't need to find it there. We needed him to be able to say that he was unconditionally in love with her and that he wanted
right.
her, you know. He, you know.
And now
yeah.
again, she's
so,
going to
she
lose again, you know.
So.
Yeah. But I'm thinking somehow she's going to end up back with Daniel. Don't you think you see that? Do you see that coming? That when
yeah,
I don't know.
I see the possibility when, of it. I don't know.
It's going to come to Daniel, back to Daniel. I don't know. That's what I would
and
like
why
to
do
see.
they keep having these scenes with Eric and Jennifer? Makes me wonder if they're trying to push those two together.
Yeah,
that
I'm wondering if they're going to, yeah. Oh, I don't like
know.
That pairing. But
I
kind of liked, actually, I kind of like Jennifer and Brady at one point better.
You know, they actually
kind of.
Do kind of have an interesting vibe there, I have to say.
Yeah, more so than... Yeah,
when
although I
first
like Brady
saw them
with
doing
Nicole.
Scenes together, I was like, oh, no. That was like last year or so, year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually, I actually don't mind them together, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of strange, though, because they seem to push things that most of the audience doesn't want, meaning like Jennifer.
Well, yeah, that's usually what they do. The more
for
we
free.
Don't want it, the more they push it, so.
Yeah, and Jordan and Rafe, like that. No. Yeah.
Those are painful
yeah.
to watch. I just like,
I
boy,
can't
that's
even,
my fast forward
like
for
to
sure.
I fast forward a lot of those. I mean, I just can't handle
it. Oh, that's my best fast forward.
They don't even seem sincere when they're saying we love each other. I'm just like,
no.
I can't even.
There's like
I
no
just
spark and
no. No. It's just, So, yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think. And then Ben's kind of growing on me a little bit. At first, I thought he was kind of, like, pretty dull. But I think he's kind of cute, but I know they've already recast him, so I'm not
they've already,
really invested.
I hate when they do that. Yeah,
I'm already not invested because I know they've already recast him, but he's kind of, the actor's kind of grown on me now a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know what's going on there, but,
I guess that's, he's supposed to be for Abby, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway,
since Rose isn't here, I was going to make a fashion statement here. How'd you like what Jennifer had on? Right out of the, I swear she was like right out of the 60s or 70s with that, pants, the flowery tight pants, look like hippie pants. Whatever she had on, and then she had her hair up in a little bun in the back to the side.
Yeah.
That made her look so old on there. Oh, my gosh.
Who wears their hair like that anymore?
Really?
I know.
I mean,
Caroline Ingalls bun just needs to go. When she goes back to that, I just can't deal.
And I have to say, nothing against Allison Sweeney or nothing. I know she changed her hair to the darker color. Uh-huh. But I do not like it. What it reminds me of? Her hair looks like it's dirty. On screen, it looks dirty to me, like greasy. The brown. I don't find her
it's
as attractive.
On me.
I love her blonde hair. She has the most. Most beautiful blonde hair, and it reminds me that color just looks mousy on her. It doesn't look nice on her.
Yeah.
I don't like the color on her at all. That's just my opinion. I just think it looks...
Yeah.
Every time I look at it, I'm there like, Sammy, go wash your hair. Sorry.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe it's just the way Sammy was wearing it that time.
Oh,
you know, maybe other times when Allison is out, you know, it looks better.
Yeah.
But,
I think she's just so known for that blonde hair, too.
She's beautiful blonde when she wears blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks
At first I was shocked, then I kind of liked it. But, I guess when I picture her in my mind, I still think of her as blonde, though. So it's kind of funny, I guess. You know, I'm just used to thinking of her that way. But, I'm going to bring Angela on. She's on hold here, and she wanted to talk, so we'll bring her on.
Okay.
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Thank you, guys. I'm doing good. I was just listening to what y'all were saying, and I agree right now with Sammy's hair, but I keep thinking, every time I look at it, initially I liked it the darker hair.
Yeah,
on her. Because really, I think she is really sort of a naturally dark blonde person, not the real yellowy blonde. You know, I think they definitely do highlights to do that. And it may be that her hair just needed a rest. I don't know. Or maybe she did need it. I have seen one or two photos of her, though, with the dark hair that were done, and she looked stunning. And she looked so I have seen some things where she did look more 35 or so than she did,
she look older,
you know,
too,
when she was in her 20s. And, you know, I think probably as an actress and trying to show some different looks and so forth to be able to get parts, because you don't want to look, I would think, again, not being an actress, but I would think, you don't also don't want to look like you're older trying to look young, too young. You know, I mean, she's not going to be in there to fool somebody that she's 25 again. So, and not that 35 is old, because it's not, and I'm 10 years beyond that, and a few. So I know, I noticed, it seems like this has been 2 or 3 weeks where her hair has just really, it's been the same day, you know, chronologically, in days time, it's been the same day. She's been on that same really tight, short dress. I don't like that dress very much either that she's had on all this time, but, you know, because she was constantly pulling it down. Even when she was arguing with Nick several, episodes ago, when she was running away from him, she had seen him, and, you know, she was running away from him so that she wouldn't have talked to him, and he followed her into the park. And, she was literally having to kind of scrunch her skirt down. And I just thought, you just don't want to have something on that you've got to get. But her hair, to me, when it first started this whole, and again, I don't know if they filled all this in one day, which I'm sure they probably did, which could also be a reason why maybe she hasn't looked as beautiful as she normally does, because she's a beautiful girl. But she hasn't looked as good. Is that if they were
maybe
doing,
they want her to look plain, like because
well,
of all what she's going through, more
plainer. That's true.
Yeah.
But I was thinking too that on top of that, if they if they had to do one of these shoot all day type things, and do, you know, 60 scenes. I keep looking at her hair right now because you're right, it just looks really bad. But her hair, I just think it's a wig. I think something, I mean, I just feel like, because there have been several scenes, the latter part of Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember if she was on that much on Friday's episode, but they shot her from the back in the De Niro mansion, you know, in the living room. And mm-hmm. I kept thinking, they have got somebody else in a wig. You know, I think they really did do some reshooting. There are a couple of things that have gone on in some of the sequencing of things that just seem odd. Just like the fact that they filmed some of this stuff with Nick, I've listened to two interviews with Blake, or read one and listened to one since his last day on the show, and you know, and he said they filmed all this before Christmas. So it's been more than 5 months, and I feel like number one, you know, this would have been early on when she first got her hair redone, but it almost looks like, because I agree with you, it does. It looks kind of icky in the back, and I think,
yes,
I think it looks like a
back.
Wig. I just looked like a wig. It looked like she had some blonde right around her front, which is good. She needs that right around the front of her face. And then it just seemed to get just way dark in the back, and it looked like a wig almost. But I think it was either maybe they were just shooting a lot because she's beautiful, and I have seen her with the dark hair in some photos that were really pretty, and I can't remember if it was those Aetna ads or something that she's done. I think her blonde hair is blonde in the Arm & Hammer toothpaste things that she's doing. That's in those commercials too, and I think she's really blonde in those. But I have seen her where she has looked absolutely beautiful, but as far as on days goes, it could be a tough shooting schedule right before Christmas as they were doing that video, the rap video, and trying to get the Christmas party done, and she had already knew that she turned in her notice and that she knew she was leaving, and you know, it could be a lot of things. But she did. I agree about the hair. It is not attractive. I don't know what they've done, but and what you said about Jennifer's hair, and you know, and Melissa Reeves looks fabulous per age, I think.
Yeah.
And but that hair thing that they had her in over at Daniel's apartment, and I didn't notice this when she was at the Horton House, because again, this day in Salem has gone on for about 2 weeks now. It seems like they're in these same horrible outfits all this time. But she had the bun that she had in the back was not the same color as her hair. So it looked like a little piece, like one of those little hair piece things that you stick in, you know, and then you just kind of wind
it just
up in the back.
Odd. It was like to the side. It kind of was odd.
It did look odd, and they had tried to mix her hair in with it. It just, to me, looked like another one of these. It's like they were racing around. Maybe the hairstylists weren't there or something. I don't know, but it was just bizarre. But, you know, Missy Reeves is lovely, and her hair is, you know, I think it could be a little bit shorter. You know, I think she would look really cute in a bob or something. But you know, mm-hmm. Even just like she normally wears it, it would have been better than that. Because you're right, it really aged her, and that outfit was, it was really ugly.
I love Nicole's hair. She always looks good, no matter what kind of hair.
Well, but Nicole's roots are showing even, I think. Right now, I've seen her when her hair was a little bit lighter. I love it short.
Yeah.
But
I thought her roots
were showing this week. So, like I said, I think all around it was a tough week for the hair folks. I mean, that's quite what was taking place. But
I know. I don't know.
Maybe everybody was out Christmas shopping and just needed to scurry on out. I don't know, but everybody to me.
I mean, Kate's hair looked great though. I mean, that's the way she wore.
Yeah.
It did,
and she looked good, and we got to see her some this week. I keep trying. Yeah, I really think you were asking about what people think about who shot Nick, and you know, I think it will be. You will think it's one person and it's going to turn out to be someone else. And this is kind of a play on the same story. You know, Lorraine Broderick, who's, one, I guess, the head breakdown writer, or she's not a co-writer, but head writer. But anyway, but obviously she's been a she's a very experienced writer for many shows. This is almost exactly like the storyline that they did at the end of All My Children when they were going to shoot Adam Chandler, you know, David Canary's role. And I watched Half a Chance because SoapNet was still on my TV. So on the weekends, you know, I could do house cleaning and stuff and have it on, and I would see some of it. And that's what they did, is they had, it was kind of a whodunit, and everyone, you know, shot, and they had to figure out who it was. And it was this, and that's almost the same story they played with Stefano last time Stefano got shot. So, you know, you could kind of see some of this coming. And I hate that Blake is leaving, but I think he, like you said, I think he's on to bigger and better things. And I think mm-hmm. we're very fortunate to have him the both times that we've had him and then for as long as we did. So, you know, I think that's great. But I think that with the story, I just completely suspected Lucas, you know, because he had that text message, you know, at the pub that said mm-hmm. they were in the park. Or I'm in the park, and so, so to me that was, you know. So then he, you know, hustled off, and then I can't remember which interview it was. It was either the one that Blake did on Michael Fairman, which is a hand, you know, which is a written article, or and they did an interview with Luke Kerr and Jamie McGiddens from Daytime Confidential did an interview with them online. So I think that's the latest podcast that they've put out. And at one point, Blake did say that he was, you know, with it, once he was stumbling to the town square, you know, they wanted him to look in the direction of who was responsible for it. And
right.
You know, so that's, like, and mm-hmm. and he was and I went back the day after I listened to that. I had that one still on the DVR. I went back and I looked, and Lucas literally, when Lucas tries, when almost makes eye contact with him, you know, in the square while he's dying, blood going. I mean, Lucas turns away from him. Lucas won't even look at him. He starts to turn away and won't look, and so he won't make eye contact with him. So, you know, and they've certainly done this before, where Lucas, you know, trying to protect Will and Sammy, you know. Could have been involved in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure about why he would go and steal his mother's gun. But I can't figure out how many people would have known she had the gun there.
Yeah, other than Lucas. But and Lucas would be one of the few that would know that it mm-hmm. was there. Yeah.
Unless Nick got it. Unless Nick, for some reason, sneaked back in there. But from what Blake Barris says, there are no more scenes with Nick. So they have filmed everything. He's not coming back as a ghost. There's not, yeah. We have seen him.
He's dead.
So I don't think they're going to show us, you know, some little, you know, he sneaked back into her office and stole the gun to maybe incriminate her if something did happen to him, or if he need, you know, but if he needed a gun, he could have gotten a gun himself. You know, smart enough to do that. So I can't figure that part out. I don't know, but I still suspect Will, because I don't think, I don't know. I just, you know, I think those would be good candidates. And, you know, it's obviously not the assassin hired gun.
No.
it was interesting that they showed EJ in the town square, and you could tell that someone was looking at him from a distance, but you couldn't tell who it was. And the next day, of course, the guys still trying to approach EJ in the town square. And it's like EJ just doesn't see him. EJ sees Sonny, and he talks to him for like 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that part was really, you can't really tell. And I can't quite figure out why the assassin is still hanging around.
And he's an honest assassin. He gives the money
back. He's already got his money.
You can't find any of those anymore, I'll tell you that. Oh.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. A hitman with integrity.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
They only hire the best at Demira Enterprises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see. Like I said, it's the show, and I think y'all talked about this last week or week before last, is that, you know, it's extremely slow. I mean, those conversations that both Nicole and Daniel had, and
the same thing,
and Greg Bond had
4 days.
Tell him, Nicole. Will you just tell him? I mean, it's time.
Well, you know? I think that they definitely, like I said, are really trying to just make as little, happen as they can right now.
She's going to take him back to that hotel room and seduce him is what she's going to do. She's not going to tell him. She wants,
I don't think Daniel could be seduced. I really don't.
Eric. I don't think she's going to tell Eric. She's getting him back there to,
She's going to get Eric in bed, and then the truth's going to come out. And then she's hoping then that he will be, connected to her at that point and will forgive her and everything. That's probably just going to make him more mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what this reminds me of is all the terrible transitions that we have been through over these last few regimes.
Yes.
And it just reminds me of like the summer of whatever it was, 2011, was that it? And I stuck with the show, and I said four times I was going to stop watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's hard because you're right. They don't have I have to admit, Dave does a good job of developing umbrella stories. I mean, they really do. But you're right. The transitions can be horrible. It's horribly painful.
It's just too slow. They are clearly, they're going to a different focus for the show. And, the back casting five are coming in as Eve and some of these other characters and so forth. And they're going to be starting soon. And so I feel like they're just kind of making sure they just drag this part out as long as they need to hit that point. And obviously they're going to drag out Ejami as long as they can until October or whatever it's going to be, to try to hold on, to those folks. But it really, like I said, it irritates me so much as a viewer, and I would think a lot of people that have watched the show for a while, that these transitions, when things go on for a week or two and nothing happens, and they have, eight minutes of an episode, and you only have 40 minutes, really, of airtime mm-hmm. anyway, spent on the same conversation. It's silly. Mm-hmm. And so that's the part that's really kind of frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see.
I can always tell when I'm looking at the descriptions on my U-verse deal, and it's like it starts out with Daniel confronts Nicole, like on a Monday, and on Friday, Nicole is forced to confess. Like, wait a minute, come on, it took a whole week for that. Come on, whatever. So yeah, you can tell.
Ugh. It's. I don't know, but now as far as moving fast to replace Ben, they have moved fast to replace Ben. The new Ben, I think, appears on the 21st.
Well, why couldn't they move fast to replace Jordan? I don't get that. Ugh.
Well, I think I've wondered a lot because I saw something again. Half the time, if I glance at these spoilers, they're not even right or they're old. But it's like I saw the same spoiler that we saw months ago that she decides to leave town.
I'm like, why doesn't she just
keep
leave?
They keep doing that, but she doesn't leave.
Yeah,
so
they keep teasing us.
Yeah.
I know.
Don't
leave like that, Dave.
We just can't get rid of him.
That story is awful. Well,
yeah.
Awful.
One that drags on. We still don't know what it is. What the heck's going on, Do we care,
I think whatever they started off with, I think they've changed their minds.
I think they've changed,
she leaves after this new Ben comes on. My whole guess has been that they had planned for her to write her out, and then they decided to replace the actor that's playing Ben because for whatever reason, they would have had to have made the decision that he was out before he even aired because he's been there since January, I guess, December or January, filming. Mm-hmm. And so really before he ever aired, really, we were like the week he aired the first time, they already had said he was leaving and being replaced. Mm-hmm. And so the new guy that's coming on, and he is going to be more exciting, I think, personality-wise. He's not a super experienced actor, but he was on All My Children on the web series, played Petey Cortland, and then he was the first male model on The Price is Right. And so he's, you know, he's a handsome guy, you know, he's got a little bit more personality. But I think he starts 21st. So maybe after he gets there and gets established, then they'll let Jordan leave. Maybe they're just trying to kind of keep that hook in, so, you know, so he'll have some connection to somebody when he gets there. And then, because he's obviously going to be there as Abby's love interest. I think that is the plan.
Yeah. Maybe him
to leak out, but I don't know. It's not. I mean, we have seen much worse. We've had much worse. So I don't want to make it sound like it's the end of the world. It just frustrates me that after all this time that they're still kind of just dragging some of these things on. And the money should be Nicole and Eric. We have waited now for years.
Yeah.
And they could
just driven that into the ground.
They have. It's like they intentionally did it so that we wouldn't want.
Yeah. It's almost like grounding football or something. It's like really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I hope we still get a happy ending with EJ and Sammy and the kids and everything. I think that the little boy that plays Johnny, he's his last tape date is the 23rd, I think, so he's almost done, too. And, I mean, he's precious, just precious. And
I saw that the new Sydney appeared, or maybe she's appeared before and I just haven't seen her.
She did. Now she's good. She's really good. She was cute. And
cute.
She was seemed to be in the moment, which is not what we've had before.
That's
for all
little
girls, have been real cute, but just not. But, yeah, she was real cute. And so I think... I don't know. We'll just have to. I don't know how they're gonna do this whole thing. Obviously, James has been gone for a couple of weeks, and then these folks are wrapping up. So you know, it's all got to be seen. But it's sad. You know, I'm gonna miss. I really am gonna miss James Scott.
I'm gonna miss James Scott too. I hear you. That's one of the main reasons I watch. You know.
And where in the world has Stefano been? They have continued to say, he's taping and he'll be on soon. And I mean, it's been like 6 months. When has he been on?
They had that one scene or one episode where they had dinner, but other than that, they haven't had a lot.
Yeah,
and
with Kate,
I mean, they had EJ talk to the picture the other day.
They all talk to the picture a lot.
So that's the other thing. But again, that could be Stefano with Kate's gun. You know.
True.
Because
could have been Stefano. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been hopeful. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on too. So hang on, just one sec here. Hey, Kenneth.
Hey.
Hey there. Hey there.
Hey, how you
Angela,
doing?
Angela, Marianne, and me. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey there. How are you doing?
Hi, Kenneth.
Oh, great. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Okay, great. I have a house full of crazy people, and I'm the only same one, and so I had to go to...
I was
going to
say, and you're the only one there?
No, I had to go to a private place. I had to go to my center.
As I mentioned when I was talking to you on the side there, we're going to try to wrap up here in about 10 minutes, so go for it. Tell us what you're thinking.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
first of all, I'm glad because I'm tired too, so I'm going to slip up under these covers and it's going to be OVA, you hear me? Okay. What the hell? I see Jennifer, right? And the only thing that enters my mind, I said, she looked total hell up. I said, why would they do her like what? What's the purpose? Well, I just want to know, what is the purpose of making her look so old? I mean, what are they trying to tell us about her character? Because I don't even remember her dressing like that when Sherry Anderson was writing. I just don't. I do not. I mean, it almost seems like she's going on. It seems like they have this character going through a midlife. Well, I should say midlife crisis. I just said we're just gonna call it a damn crisis. Okay, she's going through a crisis, and you know, I don't understand that at all. So. And the hair was atrocious. Yes, it was. It was. I probably should comment more on Twitter and tag it to NBC, Days NBC. And the tagline is WTF with exclamation points.
There you go.
Because, it's just atrociously bad, and that's me just being very honest and very modest, by the way. Let's see here. Nicole, you know, it was so interesting because there was a flashback that was done a couple of months ago with Dr. Shaika, and I remember him telling Nicole, you don't need me to destroy you. You're gonna do it yourself.
Oh yeah, that was good. Yeah, good memory.
I remember that, and it's so true. It's almost like a foreshadowing. I mean, it's a constant battle with herself. Which is so true to life too, because you know, you can be stuck on one thing, say, okay, I'm gonna do it this way, but then you kind of overthink it, and because you overthink it, that's where you make the mistakes, and you know, so my thing is this: what other obstacle could they have thrown in Nicole if the reverse happened, if she, let's say, if she turned in the documents and gave them to Father Eric, what would the result would have been for that? You know, I just kind of think, you know, what else can you put the character through? I can tell you one thing: I do not want any more. The expected. I want the unexpected all of the time. Because, I mean, how do you keep people in their seats? How do you keep people watching? And, you know, Jennifer is not going to do it. I'm just sorry. It's not going to keep my attention. I much rather be outside cutting grass, and I hate going outside anyway.
You mean you wouldn't want a whole show of Jennifer and Jace?
Hell no.
Why not?
No,
I can't imagine why not. I mean, you know, I would look at that as a good nap, you know, nap time. Oh man. Hey, I know you're a Lorraine Broderick fan. Angelo, you were talking about Lorraine earlier, right? And saying that this was reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
This whodunit was kind of reminiscent of something they did on AMC. Kenneth, any thoughts on that? Because I know you guys both are into the writing and everything.
Well, I think whoever I suspect the killer is not a suspect. That is what I believe.
Right. They're doing all these red herrings.
I really don't. This is what's playing out in my mind, and if it shows up on TV, I'm a damn genius, okay? And I will finally accept this as it is. But this is my thought. I'm thinking that the hitman was getting ready to shoot Nick, and somebody beat him to it, but the hitman was not seen. I think the hitman was kind of like a witness to. He probably saw who did it, or whatever else. But I really don't believe it was any of the suspects. I mean, it's too for us to suspect everyone that had an interest in shooting Nick is too obvious. I would like to think that the writers are not that stupid to. It's almost like putting bones out there for a dog to eat. It's really just to distract us, because the killer, I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact, it's got to be. The killer has got to be somebody we know, but it's unexpected, number two. And it's kind of like everybody's paying attention to the suspects, and to be honest, it's not any of them. It's not any of them, because what would they gain? What would the writers gain by making the killer somebody that we all know for one, and could be suspected anyway? Any of the suspects? What would they What would they gain? Where would the story go from there? What would they do? You know, and even if that's the case, then they'll probably
under that scenario. Under that scenario, Kenneth, and it could be Gabby, because they are. You know, she's leaving in June.
Gabby's one I was thinking too.
You know, that flew around. That flew around in my mind because it got me to thinking about.
She's leaving anyway.
And then, too, you know, Nick was blackmailing her as well.
Plus, if you think about it, too, Julie, it's kind of funny because that was the one person besides Maggie that Julie wanted, that invited her into the room with Nick.
Yeah, she didn't think she did it. She suspects the other ones, but, yeah, not Gabby.
I mean, Gabby would definitely have motive. And that would kind of tie the whole, now that you say it, it makes a lot of sense too, because I'm thinking something else happened in between. Nick getting shot. What I mean is that something happened that was not.
Yeah, we haven't seen
shown at the particular time.
Yeah.
Because I remember, because there was a scene where Abby was going to talk to Gabby, and she's like, you know, Nick is doing this, he's doing X, Y, Z. And the thing is, Gabby already knew this. She just didn't want to believe it. And if Gabby is a killer, then that would clear up the whole, that whole thing with Ariana and everything else. Because Gabby's leaving
somebody
the show.
Somebody has his phone.
But Ariana's not leaving. So
right.
You know, so that's an angle there. So yeah. That's just my take on it. I don't know. I'm definitely not the writer or writers of the show. I'm just a spectator like everyone else.
Now,
is
there any possibility that he could have been shot by two different people? Because didn't they say there were two bullets? There are four.
Yeah, he shot in the back twice, and then wasn't he shot in the back?
Yeah, it could have been two different people.
Yeah, so it came from both directions.
Yeah, you know what? It's possible. It's definitely possible.
I was just curious.
Well, you know, you get me thinking, because now that I think about it, I remember the shots in my head, and so it's very possible that. It could have happened that way. Excuse me, y'all. I'm yawning.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're right there with you, Kenneth. Okay, we got 1 minute to wrap it up. Okay, I want everybody to, I'm going to go around, and I just want gut instinct. Who do you think did it? Marianne?
I'm thinking Gabby.
Okay, Angela?
I guess
I'll vote for Gabby right now.
All right.
But I think Kenneth could be right. and it could just be someone we don't even know and think about right now.
Well,
I even wonder about Chris. Would Kristen have any reason to? I was thinking. She just popped into my head because she's coming back. Okay, Kenneth, you get a shot too here. No pun intended.
Okay. I'm gonna say Gabby. I'm gonna stick to that.
All right.
And just,
okay.
I'm gonna say Gabby.
Well, how about
right,
you,
well,
Anne?
I think it was Kenneth. Forgive me if it wasn't, but somebody said something about how, or maybe Angela, that you know, it's all these people that they're making look like they did it, like the red herrings. Like, who's the person that's been flying under the radar, you know? So right now, Gabby's the one that's been flying under the radar. But, I mean, they could throw us for a loop, and it could be Kristen or some other stupid, you know, who knows? I don't know.
Maybe Mr. Greetings,
but,
too.
Yeah, could have been.
Yeah.
Mr. Greetings. So, all right, well,
yeah.
Thank you guys on that note. Hey, we made it to one task. So I appreciate all of y'all calling in. Angela, thanks for your perception. You're always great with the writing and everything. And, we love your perspective. And Kenneth, thank you for calling in. And we always like to hear from you. And don't fall asleep yet. And Marianne, thanks again for all that you do. And shout out to Carrie and Rose tonight.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Rose. Love you.
Miss
thank you.
All right, guys. We'll continue this next week then. All righty?
Thanks, everyone.
I love y'all, too.
Love you.
Good night, my Charlie Angels.
Night-night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye. Bye-bye.